Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156.
Yeah, welcome in, Busted Open Nation, here on a weekend edition of Busted Open. I'm your weekend host, Ryan McKinnell. Got the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, along for the ride as my tag team partner. And today, we dive into the continuing story of Roman Reigns and Goldberg on Friday night, and they're dueling promos and what that means for Saudi Arabia. We also take a look at Ronda Rousey and her likability through the lens of Charlotte Flair and Naomi. Make sure you catch that conversation, and it wouldn't be a Saturday edition of Busted Open if we didn't give you our weekly winner for the best show that was in the week of professional wrestling. You know the deal. Sit back, relax, click play. Let's get it going. Busted Open on a Saturday. The New Day taking a pin to Los Lotharios just because it's Valentine's Day. And again, I like Carrillo. I like Garza. I absolutely despised what I saw last night with Big E and Kofi taking a pin on Friday Night SmackDown to Los Lotharios. All due respect, again, to Los Lotharios. Mark, by my estimation, they've done nothing to deserve that win.
There is somebody that could have took that L. But not the New Day. But you know what, man? I look at it like this. The way that you build is by having that build happen against people that matter. Somebody had to take the loss, to fall on the sword that mattered. And I think it just happened to be New Day's time. The respect factor and all of that, that's on us. Because we value the New Day as like national treasures, but they're commodities to the company. So like you use the commodities the way that you would use them. And it's no different than anybody else. I don't think they're picking on New Day. Did New Day deserve to do it, to lose the way that they lost? No. Where'd you gonna put it on any of the other tag teams, Viking Raiders? Who are you gonna put it on? You know, so like they matter most. So I look at it like that. You know, the New Day is a viable commodity that if we're talking about it. And I would say I rest my case, but I just got more on it. Like the reason that we're talking about it, the reason that it hit you a wrong way is because it invoked emotion. And just them losing to anybody wouldn't have this effect on you. It was a Valentine's Day. Next week they could come out again and it'll be a mollywop. They'll clean the ring with them dudes.
Well, that would be the hope. And listen, it's about how it happened. No build. I understand you want to build Los Lotharios. I understand you want them to lose to New Day, right? But on a Friday night with no build. I shouldn't say no build. They had a fine match last week. Writing was on the wall, right? But to not have it happen on a pay-per-view, to just have it happen randomly like that. And again, the whole Valentine's Day, the lovers thing, the kiss cam, all that, it just, it, 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 gave me a bit of a stank face. You know what I mean? Again, I understand the business behind it. I don't like the timing of it and the way it was done. And I just feel a little bit for Big E and Kofi, you know?
You're entitled to that. You're entitled to it. Yeah. As a fan, we all have our emotions wrapped up into certain people.
Yes, we do.
And
yes, we do.
That's what makes pro wrestling the thing that's the hottest thing on social media. It's the hottest thing in television. And it's the hottest thing in entertainment. You can have all the MMA fights and boxing matches and everything around the world. All of them combined is not going to scratch the surface of the money made from WWE, AEW, Impact, MLW, New Japan, all the wrestling companies combined, that make it, man, the money, that's why I'm saying, the world of pro wrestling, they should work together in some capacity to create their own awards like the Oscars, to create their own awards like the Emmys, to be able to combine the business and have athletes pay into a structured system to where everybody gets services, social services, mental health, wellness, whatever it is. Buy into it. Like anything else, any other kind of insurance. And that would, you don't need a union to do that. It's just that all the companies have to find an insurance company. You look at Geico, you look at Progressive. Every third commercial is some kind of insurance commercial. You look at the NBA, every commercial, there's a commercial for insurance. Pick one. Get them to help endorse this brand that all wrestling can buy into. You can buy into it as a company. You can just buy into it as an individual. I want my own individual policy. I want to throw $500 a month at this. I want, if I get hurt, go to the hospital, pay a little small $50 copay, and go and buy my business. I need a surgery. It's going to get paid for. I need to go to the dentist. Done. Something happens, I die, my families get a benefit. It pays for all my funeral costs. It could work. And I don't know how we got here, but I'm just saying, it's all based off emotions that are drawn from the sport. I just look at the sport differently. I look at it as we're all fighting against each other as corporations in pro wrestling. And that's what shouldn't happen. Now, when you fight for ratings, but the business of wrestling should work together.
Well, the closest thing that we've got, you and I were there together just a couple years ago. Wouldn't you say the Cauliflower Alley Club is in terms of, you know, buying in and taking care of the next generation and doing some of the things that you're talking about? I think that's one of the organizations.
They're doing a great job.
Doing some great. They are. I mean, they've been around for, I think, 60-plus years, maybe even longer. I should probably have the exact numbers in front of me. But the Cauliflower Alley Club, if you want more information on that out here in Vegas, definitely something to, as we talk about the future, past, and present of professional wrestling, go out there and look into membership. I'm a lifetime member.
Yeah,
Mark,
you're
a lifetime member.
Yeah.
That stuff's, you know, there's plenty of, you know, in a perfect world, yes, to your point, Mark, what you were talking about, that would be great. But this is America, and it's not always a perfect world, but we do have the Cauliflower Alley Club. And to your point about companies working together, Mark, I think we're seeing a lot more of that, especially with AEW and all this talk of the Forbidden Door. Obviously, Wednesday and Friday, big surprises from Tony Khan. I mean, the proverbial elephant in the room, almost literally, Keith Lee, the big man himself, showing up on Wednesday night. But Also, Switchblade Jay White, as we talk about the Forbidden Door. You know, he was obviously on Wednesday, and then he was, and then he appeared last night on Friday as well. We will, of course, be talking about that. So, New Day taking the pin to Los Lotharios. Not one of the highlights of my Friday, but Friday was good overall. I like the Roppongi Vice opener against the Young Bucks on Rampage. I love Naomi and Charlotte, which we're about to come back to and dive into here coming up in a couple minutes.
What about the Creed Brothers?
That was a fine match as well. There was a lot to like in the week that was in professional wrestling, Mark. But what did you think about Friday night?
Man, I thought Friday was awesome, man. I thought there was a lot of talking about what's going to happen in Saudi on SmackDown. And
yeah,
I thought that, the show that was put on Rampage was a good show. Like you said, it started hot. It ended great. And everything in between meant something. It wasn't for nothing. The storytelling was there. And I always like a match to start hot that gets everybody fired up. Nobody gets you fired up like seeing the Young Bucks. Like, they get the job done, man. Like, they know their roles, and they stay true to themselves. And I know they get criticized for not abiding by the traditional wrestling rules. But you know what, man? Anarchy and rule breaking has been going on since the beginning of time in rock and roll, in blues, and in music. And it's going to be that way in wrestling, too. And the Young Bucks exemplify anarchy, and they embrace it. And they'll take all the hate spewed to them because they know that somebody has to do that. Somebody has to be that. I mean, I look at Darby Allin. I feel like Darby Allin is one of those guys. Just like, man, the hell with the rules, man. They don't apply to me. I'm going to do me. You do you. Let's stay out of each other's way. And that's what I feel from the Young Bucks every time that their music plays.
Good stuff there from the world's strongest man, Mark Henry. I'm Ryan McKinnell. This is Busted Open on a Saturday. Join the conversation, Nation. 877-344-4893. 877-FIGHT93. What'd you think of Friday night Super Bowl plans? It's all on the docket. We are waiting to hear from you. What'd you think about New Day taking that pin to Los Lotharios? Got our buddy here putting you over, standing streamer, saying, wouldn't you say the New Day or Teflon, and the win does, and it does more for Los Lotharios? Plus, technically, it was Big E and Kofi who lost, not New Day. That is the New Day. New Day lost to Los Lotharios. And yeah, it better do more for Los Lotharios. It better do more. But that's my worry, right? Is that that Los Lotharios won't be around a year and a half from now. What was the pin really worth? New Day, we know, and we know Kofi and Big E are two of the best in the world for former world champions. All due respect to Garza and Carrillo, they are nowhere near that stratosphere.
Hey everyone, this is Kirk Morrissey.
This is Greg McElroy.
And this is Nate Burleson. With the 2020 NFL season finally upon us, we're excited to announce three new NFL podcasts from SiriusXM.
On Total Coverage, we'll explore the hows and the whys behind the week's biggest results.
On Inside the Pocket, we will go under the helmet for all the quarterbacks in the NFL.
And on 17 Weeks, Jamal Adams, Emmanuel Sanders, and Eric Ebron will discuss the latest NFL stories straight from the locker room.
New episodes of all three podcasts will be available every week on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We just heard from the Tribal Chief Nation out there, heard the audio from last night, sit down interview with Michael Cole. Yeah, I thought, listen, I'm not particularly high on the match itself, like Goldberg and Roman Reigns, right? In terms of Saudi Arabia, I know what it is. Saudi wants Goldberg. They're getting Goldberg. I'm happy Goldberg's getting the bag. All that said, I don't have a lot of interest for the match. Roman Reigns helped that a little bit last night with what was an outstanding, as you just pointed out, a venomous promo, the references to WCW and so on. The man is locked in, Mark Henry.
he is. And you know what? I thought that Goldberg's retort, if you will, was not bad. But it's we already have a preconceived idea of what that is and why it is. So nobody's really, you know, wrestling fans are not stupid. Like, wrestling fans are the smartest fans in entertainment. And, you know,
they've seen it
don't
all.
Pat yourselves on the back so much, guys. I know I see you right now smiling and patting yourself on the back. Relax. I know what it is, but they did a good job last night. It just was too long. Did it have to be so long? If you cut Roman Reigns in half and you cut Goldberg in half, you probably would have had 15 minutes. You could do a real nice segment of some really quality wrestling and made that show better.
You just mean in terms of you? Oh, okay. You're talking about Goldberg speaking and Roman Reigns speaking. The combined time on the stick could have been used to highlight a match. Yeah. Well, product of what we're dealing with, and that's Elimination Chamber and this stopover on the way to WrestleMania and this needed match between Goldberg and Roman Reigns. Do you think we could see? I mean, listen, said it last night, Mark. What did he say? Roman said he's going to Goldberg. I think we know what that means, right? Finish him quick, finish him violently. Could we see Roman beat Goldberg in a similar fashion that Goldberg beat Brock back in 2016? Feels like we could be building to something like that.
I think we can. But more than anything, I think that when he said that and Goldberg had his response, Goldberg kind of laughed at that. And, you know, like that's something that usually when you see somebody say, you know what, I'm not, you know, they kind of laugh at the fact that I'm not the same guy happened twice last night. Roman Reigns said he wasn't the same guy. Goldberg said that he wasn't the same guy. And right. I think they're both right. So Goldberg is not the guy anymore that does the two-minute matches. And Roman Reigns is not the guy that's going to try to buck the system to have a long, dragged-out banger that we'll talk about. Roman Reigns wants to have a – they're going to have an exciting, about 8-minute match that we'll talk about. You know what, man? Pro or con, Goldberg did his thing. Because that's the way you want to be remembered, as somebody that was able to go and do well and not look like, you know, I had to be protected from, you know, looking bad. Goldberg is a lot better wrestler than he was in the streak that he had at WCW. He's a better psychologist, and sometimes it happens late for people. And I think that is just a byproduct of time running out, but it was the same way with me. I mean, I was able to do some really impactful things story-wise and entertainment-wise since 98. But I really didn't feel like the Force was the strongest with me to Star Wars speak.
Till later.
Till 2005, 2006.
Yeah.
It took almost 10 years. And the next 12 to 13 years was money, because I drew money. And that was because of the people that I work with, the Booker T's, the Benoit's, the, you know, me and MVP together, then me doing my solo runs against Cena and The Undertaker and everybody in between, the Big Show. Like, I was able to take it further. And I think Goldberg was always put in a place where we felt like Goldberg was, you know, protected. But now, you don't need to protect Goldberg. He can protect himself. And that's what I got out of last night. I think that both of them are different. And we're going to see something different in Saudi.
Well, certainly, I certainly hope so, because I would love to see a great match between those two. It would definitely be a little surprising. I'll take the under on that, though. You said 8 minutes. I'll take the under. I think we're going under 8 minutes in that match. I don't know. The writing's on the wall. I think there will be a Goldberging of Goldberg, if you will. And if that does happen, I think it would add more to the Brock feud in terms of the legitimacy, the interest of a Roman Reigns Brock matchup at WrestleMania. If Roman Reigns went out there and just absolutely, you know, clobbered Goldberg, I don't know. It would add a little bit more heat to what we're talking about with WrestleMania. What do you think?
I think that we're going to have a case where it's going to look like it.
Yeah.
That Goldberg is is going to, you know, get the job done. And then the Usos or Paul Heyman, somebody's going to come into play. And when that happens, that's when Roman will put together a string of two or three spears to Goldberg, and he's going to kick him out. And then they're going to go a little bit more. And that's what I would do. Because I would want the match to be remembered. There's got to be a point where Goldberg is overzealous and he does something that gets him caught up into the guillotine, and Roman Reigns remains the champion, and you have the changing of the guard, if you will, the proverbial putting the old wrestler out the pasture. And just let him stud for the rest of his life.
Okay, Wizard. Put your get your magic eight ball out there. We got a face-to-face with Roman Reigns. That looked weird. We got a face-to-face with Goldberg and Roman Reigns coming up next Friday. Face-to-face meeting. Obviously, that actually, Mark, now that I'm looking at the schedule, we're going to be going live essentially right into Elimination Chamber next week. We're 6 to 9 Pacific, right? Well, Elimination Chamber starts at 9 o'clock Pacific, noon Eastern next Saturday. But before the Elimination Chamber goes live from Saudi, Goldberg and Roman Reigns are going to go face-to-face on Friday Night SmackDown. What do you think? What do you think about the possibility of what that might look like?
Man, I'm going to like it because I'm a wrestling fan. But there are educated fans that, bro, everybody wants to see the main event, and then they want to, you know, have a little they want to have their cake and eat it too, basically. They want it the way that they want it. And I just don't think that, you know, right now the WWE is giving you what you want. They're giving you what they have available. And, you know, the Elimination Chamber is something that a lot of the fans look forward to because of all of the optics.
Every day is a great day when you're not worrying about your appliances and home systems. And that's what you get with an American Home Shield warranty. Unexpected breakdowns like a leaky faucet or a faulty water heater won't break the bank with an American Home Shield warranty. Because covered repairs and replacements are taken care of. Choose a plan that works for you and your budget, and then it's simple. When a covered item in your home breaks, contact American Home Shield, and their trusted and qualified pros will fix it or replace it based on the coverage limits in your agreement. Right now, you can take 20% off. Go to ahs.com/bustedopen now to save 20%. That's ahs.com/bustedopen for 20% off any plan. American Home Shield. Don't worry. Be warranted. See ahs.com/contract for coverage details, including limit amount, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty which may be provided by the home builder or manufacturer.
Hey everyone, this is former NFL linebacker and current SiriusXM NFL radio host Kirk Morrison, and I'm here to tell you about my new podcast, Total Coverage. Each week, I'll be joined by some of the greatest minds in the game as we explore the hows and the whys behind the week's biggest results. Whether we're breaking down player techniques, game plans, or coaching philosophies, we'll explain the details that define our favorite performances. New episodes will be available every Tuesday on the SiriusXM app, Pandora, and Apple Podcasts.
Landscape of pro wrestling is evolving, which means more options for fans.
So many activities!
Mark Henry and Ryan McKinnell are here to answer the difficult questions. What was the best show this week?
If you ain't first, you're last.
The week's over, so get over. This is the Busted Open Weekly Winner.
Yeah, that's right, Nation. Hour three is upon us here on another Saturday. It is weekly winter time, where myself and the world's strongest man give you the best show that was in the week of professional wrestling. And Mark, we start weekly winter as we do every hour three. We start on a Monday, where Monday... Well, all I can say about Monday is the best thing about Monday, and it has been for quite some time, is RK-Bro, and they continued to kill it on Monday as well for what was overall a pretty entertaining show. It really was.
Yeah, it was entertaining. You know, like, I mean, just the fact that, you know, they started that with that academic challenge and made all the references to, you know, smoking weed. You know, with the bowl and all of the stuff, and you know, even down to the well thought out questions about, you know, Denver Broncos football, just to get the fan approval.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, I did too. And yeah, I think this was RK Bro was the only. And this wasn't this week. This was like a week or two ago. It was like 2 weeks ago. You talk about the weed references, Riddle referencing a calibration and his scales, that popped me. So salute to all the writers at WWE. And yeah, man, it's like a Pixar movie, right? You're bringing some adult themes to a PG product. That was very enjoyable, and the matches were good as well on Monday. I mean, you got a Bianca Belair match, you got an AJ Styles match, a Kevin Owens match, Riddle and Seth Rollins. They've really upped their game. They got a lot of great talent after the draft, after October, from Friday night coming over. They're utilizing that talent, obviously, and it shows.
Piper Niven and Liv, the work was spectacular. And, you know, like, I ain't necessarily like, you know, all of the finish, but I definitely don't like seeing the World's Strongest Slam used as a high spot. But nonetheless, hell of a match. I'm a fan of hers, and I think that every week she's grasping that she's a star, and the momentum of her being one is going to come about. So I'm hoping that we get more of Piper Niven in the up-and-coming weeks.
I agree, and shout out to Piper Niven. Always, forever, Piper Niven, never do drop. So
Seth Rollins is the, you know, is stealing it though. Like every time that the suits that he's wearing, the outfits he had on, a Gucci, shimmery fluorescent looking sweatsuit that made me and Jacob both go, oh, okay, I see you. I might rock that. It looked pretty live.
That cackle is
too much, but it's why we love him, man. The dude is spectacular, man.
Yeah.
He's forever evolving, and I think that Seth is one of those guys, man, that we're going to look back in the next 10 years and go, damn, he did all of that? You know what I'm saying? He's one. It's Jericho-like. You look at Jericho, he's one of those guys. You look at his career, come on, man. His career is up there with Hogan. It's up there with Flair. Like, what he was able to do after he left WWE and being with AEW now, is equally as impressive as his WWE career. I think that's what we'll get from Seth Rollins. He's one of those guys.
Completely agree. Top of the absolute food chain, no question. And that actually reminded me of something that I want to swing back to that Jason was calling. Or no, it was Jason was one of the callers that was talking about Ronda Rousey crowd reaction, liked, not being like natural fit. That sparked my memory as we talked about Rollins, because I do think Rollins, as great as he is as a babyface, he is a great babyface. I think he could be one of the best babyfaces in the entire business, right? He is so damn talented as a heel, and naturally I feel like it just fits him a little bit better, because Mark, some people don't want to play heels and they're forced to be playing into a heel. I don't know what Seth wants or what he doesn't want. It just, he feels right at home when he is being that, I don't want to say villain, but being that mischievous trickster.
The trickster, Joker-esque.
Yeah.
Like, he does look at home. He does look comfortable. Excuse me. He looks like he would be better suited playing the bad guy, because what did Batman say? That, you know, you, as a bad guy, you want to live long enough for people to love you?
You live long enough to see yourself become the enemy or become the villain, something like that. It was Harvey Dent, I think, that said it, right?
When he
was
talking
to Batman.
And that's how I see Seth. I see him. There's been a lot. Steve Austin was like that. Like, Steve Austin wasn't a good guy in the beginning. Somehow it morphed into being respected, the toughness, to a love of that guy. And I think that Seth Rollins is one of those guys that's going to be able to do that.
Good stuff. We could skip over NXT. We talked about the opening Creed match, or the Creed Brothers opening match. That was good. I always love Pete Dunne, but I don't know what the hell is going on with that show, and that's all I'm going to say about that. We move over to Wednesday. Obviously, AEW Dynamite, Mark. I mean, the surprise of the night to me wasn't Jay White. It wasn't Keith Lee, even. It was getting to see CM Punk and Jon Moxley team up to take on FTR, one of the best tag teams of their generation. And not only was this a great tag match, not only was it unexpected, there were stakes to it. It was awesome booking. It was awesome booking. I love that show, particularly I love that match.
Man. Ryan, it's no secret. I love tag team wrestling. Love tag team wrestling. And I recently went so far as we had FTR on with me and Dave. And talking to them, Jake Roberts and I were sitting in the breezeway, because sometimes we'll go out and watch the show like fans. Okay. And we're in the breezeway in between the arena and the backstage. You don't have to watch FDR. They're so good. You can hear it. The ups, the downs, the when you pull people, it's a style that makes them so great. It's their work rate that makes them so great. CM Punk and Moxley held their own against the most structured pro wrestling tag team in the world. They are.
I'd agree with that.
Without peer.
Yeah. Yep.
They are the best structured tag team in pro wrestling. The Young Bucks could do everything right and they could still lose to FTR. The Lucha Brothers, they could lose to them. Every week, there's not a tag team that I feel like should be able to just gloss over what those two men are. And the dips, the psychological jousting that happens in their work, that match was special because A-plus of the characters that played into it. Everybody loves Moxley. Everybody loves CM Punk. And to be able to create enough heat and to be able to generate, to put them at a deficit and make them, to put either one of those guys in jeopardy means you're good. And we understated. I thought it was the best match on the show.
Well, that's saying something because, and listen, I don't disagree. I agree with you. I think it was the best match on the show. Now, I don't know, excuse me, if it was because it was unexpected and I didn't know it was going to be happening, and that popped me because, listen, man, that main event for the AEW World Championship, that Texas Death Match between
Paige and Christian
was another banger. It was nuts, but in terms of the match itself, I they were both great. Not trying to really level one up, but I'm with you. I thought it was the best match on the show. So we moved from Wednesday into Thursday, and Mark, we were talking about it a little bit through the lens of NXT earlier in the show through a caller, and I referenced a year and a half ago how NXT and AEW were going back and forth for weekly winner. Back and forth for weekly winner. I don't remember what the tally was at the end of the year. AEW ended up running away with it a little bit, and SmackDown got really good with the head of the table and everything that was going on with that. But nonetheless, I feel like we're back with this NXT and AEW back and forth, only now through the lens of Thursday night and Wednesday night. Impact on Thursday, again, bringing an absolute banger of a show from front to back. Kicking off with Josh Alexander versus a new-ish face in Connor showing up at Impact. There was a continuation of the Honor No More story. Bullet Club showed up. Chelsea Green and Mickey James had a showdown. Didn't last as long as maybe some people would like. Point being, great-ass show on Thursday night with Impact.
I thought it was a good show, and they put people in prominent positions, and they spread it out throughout the show. It wasn't top heavy or back heavy. It was laid out really well. There were some things that I disagree with, which I always disagree with something.
Sure,
but it wasn't big enough for me to harp on. Nothing was big enough for me to go, well, I just can't give them love because everything could have been worked out. And I still enjoyed the show. It was a really good show.
And wouldn't you agree in terms of that back and forth? I mean, this is now like, I don't know, the third or fourth week in a row. I mean, 2 weeks ago, we both gave Impact weekly winner because it just, it was 3 weeks ago. It was just incrementally that, in our opinion, that much a little bit of a better show than it was on a Wednesday edition of Dynamite. Impact is really up their game. And it's not just recently. Impact's been putting on great shows for a while now. But I think the way with COVID ending, crowds opening up, the Forbidden Door becoming a little bit more, open. I just think it's helping everything, and it's certainly helping on Thursday night. And consistently one of the best shows on TV.
It is, without a shadow of a doubt, is becoming the competition of AEW and Dynamite and Rampage.
Yep, 100%. And you know what? If Monday Night Raw continues on their path, listen, RK-Bro keeps getting interesting. They keep giving us matches. And again, I always feel like the three-hour show kind of hurts them, but Monday Night Raw has been doing okay as well. But as we look at a weekly winner, Mark, we've obviously talked about Friday night at length here as we've fully reviewed Rampage and SmackDown. Well, maybe not fully, but fully in a Saturday morning sort of way, Mark. So time is nigh. It is upon us. Where's your weekly winner going, my guy?
You know what, man? It was the best match of the week to me, and it happened to be on Wednesday night. And, you know, Moxley and CM Punk against FTR, you had a Texas death match that exceeded the expectation. You know, like I said, there's always nits to pick. And you could have picked nits with the finish of the Texas death match, if you will.
Yeah.
But there was nothing to pick about CM Punk, Moxley, and FTR. I have to give Wednesday Rampage my show of the week. That's my weekly winner. And if you're not first, you're last.
Tell him, Mark Henry, listen, man, I would love to play devil's advocate. I would love to sit here and try to make a case for anyone else. But you talk about FTR versus CM Punk and Moxley. Yeah, that was the match of the night. But that also came with the debut of Keith Lee. It also came with the surprise appearance of Jay White. It also came with a Wardlow, basically, squash match. It also came with Serena Deeb's 5-minute rookie challenge. It also came with a TBS championship match featuring Jay Cargill. Like, what do you want us to do? Championship match is the main event. Like, what do you want us to tell us? It's not the main best show of the week. Did you watch every show this week? It was AEW Dynamite. I agree 100% with Mark Henry. And if you ain't first, as Mark Henry said, you are last. Sorry to everybody else. AEW Dynamite. Tony Khan, they keep putting on the best pro wrestling show of the week. You want to keep putting on free pay-per-views, man? I'm going to keep watching. That's how it's
Saturday.
So
we got to put Saturdays in there. We got to put Saturdays in there because your boy, I just got the report, your boy Jacob just won his first match today.
Hey!
Two more matches, and he is going to state.
Now he's got to win both, right? This is big pressure for the world's strongest son.
He's got to win both. They come in third because he lost yesterday in a sudden death match, which he should have won. There was some debate.
Yeah.
I had to go talk to the coach. I had to go talk to the officials. And, you know, like, I don't want bias because of me. Yeah. Because, you know, some officials, wrestling and fake world and all of this. And they put judgment on my kid. And I don't want that because I can see it when I feel like something is awry. What's the deal here? And, you know, without getting into it too much, he should have won that match. And he got a penalty for something that he shouldn't have got a penalty for. He should have got a warning. And you don't give people penalties, you know, in a sudden death situation. Like, that's just the way it is. Nobody does that. It's like the NBA. They're not going to call a ticky-tack foul in the last minute of the game. They're not going to do it. They're not going to call the holding penalties in the last minute of a drive unless it's so blatantly obvious that you just have – I had to call this. So Saturdays, you know, if Jacob makes it to state, then, you know, it'll be next weekend, and that Saturday I may have to give him a weekly winner if he wins state.
I can't give him a weekly winner. I wouldn't be opposed to that. And hey, Mark, I feel sorry. You know, the wrath of the world's strongest son is rearing its ugly head today. I'm sure Jacob was a little perturbed at how things went last night. So I feel sorry for those kids out there today. I've never been intimidated physically by a teenager. What is he? What is he? No, he just turned 16.
Just turned 16.
A couple months ago? Yeah, just a couple months ago. So, yeah, I've never been physically intimidated by a child. So, yeah, no, I kind of get it. I get a smidgen of it. Absolute monster. But, yes, tip of the cap to Jacob Henry. Go out there and do work, world's strongest son. We are all rooting for you. So there you go. Shout out to Jacob Henry. Shout out to the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, holding it down and killing it again here on another Saturday. You just heard it. AEW
I'm with you.
Our weekly winner.
And I could be with my kid right now at regionals.
That's right.
I love you people.
That's right.
That's why I'm here.
And we love you, Mark Henry. We're going to take a quick break. This is Busted Open. I'm Ryan. That's the world's strongest man. We'll be right back after a quick break. Hey, welcome back, Nation. Happy Saturday. Happy Valentine's Day weekend. Happy Super Bowl. Happy everything. It is a great time of year. Hey, if you're a fight fan, happy 271 morning. I don't know. We got Israel Adesanya and Robert Whittaker getting it in tonight on the UFC pay-per-view, Mark. That's going to be an absolute banger of a middleweight championship fight. I know a lot of people are looking forward to that. I should say, speaking of mixed martial arts, speaking of the UFC, wanted to follow up on something a caller said. We were just talking about Seth Rollins, right? Babyface heel, what they're more naturally inclined for. And we were talking about it earlier through the lens of Naomi and Ronda coming out last night and saving Naomi. And I made essentially a point that it was to get cheers for Ronda Rousey, because obviously Naomi is so beloved. You bring out Ronda, Ronda saves Naomi, get some of the cheers over for her. Point I'm trying to make, for as much as I think that Seth Rollins is naturally inclined to be a heel and he fits that role, I think the same thing applies to Ronda Rousey. But that's not what the WWE wants. And I also don't think that is what Ronda Rousey wants. I think Ronda Rousey wants to be loved, Mark. And I saw it in the UFC. I saw it in mixed martial arts. There, same thing happened with her in MMA. The fans eventually began to turn on her. And her attitude caught up to her. Some of the things that she said didn't sit well with them. And one of the things, our colleague Misha Tate, after the second time they fought, after Ronda defeated Misha, Misha got up and went to shake her hand. Like, hey, great fight. You know, thanks for kicking my ass. A shine of respect, right? And Ronda refused to shake her hand. Well, the crowd essentially booed her out of the building. And I know for a fact that Ronda sat behind closed doors for, I don't know, 10 minutes before she went to the presser that night and was legitimately saddened by the fact that she received those boos. She was surprised, right? My point is, this woman has always wanted to be liked, and whether it be the crowd in mixed martial arts or some of the crowds in WWE, that is not the case. So what does the WWE do about it? Can they do anything about it? What do you think about what I just had to say?
Well, what can be done is you can start slowly integrating her into doing the babyface things.
Okay.
You can have her do the community involvement and the association of being around the kids. She's a mom now, you know, to start doing. She's got to make statements. Hey, I got to be better. I have to be better. I got to be a better example for my family, my daughter. I have to be a better example for the fans. I have to be a better example for the other women in pro wrestling. Now that tells me, okay, this person is on the nicer side of things. Like, you have to keep her moving with a trajectory of positivity and success. And how can I be a part of that positivity and success in pro wrestling? Pumping in cheers is not going to do it.
Yeah.
You have to organically make that happen.
Yeah.
As a pro wrestler, and the way that happens, it can be led, but it is better if you actually believe it and are. Actually want to be a beacon of hope. She's got to do that.
Well said. And listen, it's not like, and I'm not comparing, I'm not saying Ronda Rousey is a bad person. I don't know that. That's not what I'm saying.
She's not.
I'm just saying. I feel like she's, I feel like she's more inclined to be a better villain than she is a babyface, and there have been terrible people who have made great babyfaces in the business before. And again, I'm not saying Ronda's terrible. I'm just saying, of course, there would be a precedent for that. I'm saying I think she's better used as a foil for an actual babyface. I would have loved to see a heel Rousey return, mess stuff up, get real lippy, and maybe build up a Bianca Belair. You want to talk about Foyle. You want to talk about or a Naomi. Like, that would be a great story. Ronda being the babyface against Charlotte, I don't love it. I know why it's being done. They need a main event. They want everyone to love Ronda. But I think Ronda would be better used in a different capacity.
Ronda wants to be a badass, too.
Yeah.
And pride will make you go, no, I want to be the toughest motherfucker on the block. And I want to make faces. I want to make people cry. I want to dominate people. I want people to cower away from me. That's pride. That's vanity. You want to look a certain way, dominant. You got to erase that deal that she did in MMA with the not shaking people's hands and not showing every fighter, with the exception of a couple that I've seen in my, you know, fight watching past, were able to take a whooping and go, you know what? Good fight, man. You know, I'm going to get back in the lab. I'm going to start training. I'm coming for your butt again. You know, like, and people respect that. Ronda didn't allow Misha to have her respect.
Right, and she won. That was made at that time. That's
and
what made
she
it so
won.
Bad. Ronda won. She was a sore winner, not even a sore loser.
Right. So now you got to fix that. You got to fix that. You got to make sure that now Ronda is able to shake people's hands. That Ronda can pick somebody up after she's beat him and pat them on the back and walk out of the ropes and raise their hand. Like, thank you for the competition. Thank you. You made me better today. And then, they, you know, Bully always talks about chasing the hug. Sometimes you got to chase the hug. I don't see nothing wrong with it. I chased the hug my whole life. But I enjoyed chasing the hug because I knew people were going to benefit from it. That's the difference between me and other people.
Yeah.
Ronda's going to have to become me. She's going to have to want to be nice. She's going to have to want to be respectful. She's going to have to want to be a beacon of hope. She's going to want to have to be the person that sets the example for her daughter and the rest of the women in that locker room. Everybody's not built for that, but I think she is.
And you two not only share a history as WWE superstars and professional wrestlers, but obviously it is Olympic season, and there's an obvious tie in there as well. You guys share that Olympic lineage, and she's a special character in that regard.
She is, and you know what, man? I got a hour drive to San Antonio here in a few minutes, and I might just reach out and call her and say, you know what, man? I'm sitting, we talked about you a lot today, and you want to change the narrative? It's going to have to be you. They can't write you into being nice. They can't write you into being revered. You got to do it.
I like that. Yep, and she's certainly capable of it.
That's what a friend should do. If you feel like you have the secret sauce, then give it up.
Yeah. Yep, and Ronda, listen, Ronda was a superstar, is a superstar for a reason. She took mixed martial arts, the UFC. Before McGregor, it was Ronda Rousey. Before McGregor was talking about fighting Floyd Mayweather, yeah, I know this because I wrote dozens of articles about it for Yahoo at the time. They were talking about Floyd Mayweather versus Ronda Rousey. Yes, kids, that shit actually happened. Ronda and Floyd were beefing. There was talk about a potential fight. Lines were being made in Vegas about what would happen if they met. That gives you a small window into the star power and the baby facedness.
She would have killed
Ronda
him.
Rousey. In an actual fight?
In a fight?
Yeah.
Now, in a boxing match, Floyd would have abused her.
Well,
it wouldn't have been horrible. That wouldn't have been fair. But it would have been equally as not fair for Floyd to get in a fight with her. Because she
get judo tossed by
she would
Olympian.
Take his butt down and choke him with his own arm.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.